Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to a Now. This is something we can work with. Edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Make no mistakes. Saturday still saw Alabama fans reach their activity goals, pacing their living rooms. And my bourbon budget took a hit with so many transfer payments to the swear jar. But on the whole, what a day. Not perfect, not even in the same league as perfect, but lots of parts and pieces to be celebrated. Let's get to it. Offense, Jalen Milroe. Well, hello and welcome, Jalen Milroe. 17 for 21, 225 yards, one touchdown. That sounds familiar. Is that the kind of stat line that we predicted last week that Alabama needed from their quarterbacks? 17, 21, 225. That sounds mighty familiar. One interception and an ugly one. And for my money, Rick Neuheisel, CBS commentators, studio host, quarterback, former college quarterback, former college head football coach, I think he summed it up about as perfectly as one could, talking about Milroe and his 17 for 21 performance. Neuheisel suggested that Milroe can put the ball where he wants to. If he can hit 17 of 21, he can put the ball where he wants to. What he needs to do is organize his eyes to avoid disaster. And I think the interception that Milroe threw is a perfect embodiment of that assessment by Coach Rick. It was a little bit of a, now amateur podcaster here, not professional coach, but looked like a two-receiver high-low concept. One receiver going to the back of the end zone. That's the sexy part of the play. And one receiver running, looked like a little curl, right at about the five-yard line. And that's the boring component of the route. And Milroe went for the flash. He threw for the end zone where the defenders were converging. And that led to an interception. Rather than the boring completion at the five, live to fight another day, put Alabama in position to at least score a field goal, potentially more. I think it's fixable. I really do. I think that play is fixable. I think the play itself illustrates the solution. It's a one-read combo route. What Milroe needs is reps reading it correctly. You know, sometimes a read when a quarterback is either with an RPO or sort of a route combo, sometimes it's uglier than it is prettier when you read it wrong. It's uglier than it is prettier when you read it wrong. That doesn't mean it can't be fixed. The hitting, the interception, that's ugly. That is just ugly. Completion to the five, it's attractive. It's not gorgeous. It's not as pretty as the interception is ugly. But I think it is fixable. I think Milroe needs more reps at that combo, reading it right. Again, it's, you know, quarterbacks all the time make the wrong read on an RPO. Oftentimes, that's just a tackle at the line of scrimmage. It's not as egregious as an interception in the end zone. This is a play where Milroe needs more reps. making the correct read. He's seen it on paper. He's seen it on film. He has seen other quarterbacks run it. He's seen it repped in practice. Now he's seen it live in a game, and he made the wrong decision. I think as he continues to get experience, talking about Milrow, as he continues to round out his experience, this is something that goes into the mental banks for him. The next time they run this combination, this route combination, I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama ran it lots of times in practice this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama ran it this next week. Again, let's go back to that well again, because Milrow is going to make a better decision next time he is confronted with this opportunity, with this this route combo. Meanwhile, there's a lot of baby in that bathwater, talking about Milrow. 81% completion rate, a beautiful stand in the pocket, 33-yarder to freshman Jalen Hale for a touchdown. He took a hit, knocked the wind out of him, so he wasn't injured per se, but still standing in the pocket in the face of an oncoming rush, and he threw a laser to Jalen Hale, so that was a very nice completion there, certainly for the touchdown. Milrow hit 10 different receivers. 5 were actually wide receivers, 2 tight ends, a fullback, and 2 running backs. So he truly was the point guard distributing the ball to all of the pass-catching playmakers. So that indicates in some regard he is seeing the field. He is reading the receivers, the defenders. A lot of growth opportunity for him there, but he's not locked on to one receiver and has one sort of security blanket in his game. He certainly is comfortable distributing the ball to multiple receivers. And so we could go back and break that down. How many of those were route combos where he made the right read? And there's a lot of fixation on the negative read, which I understand that. That's how it works. But again, I think there's a lot of good in what we're seeing from Jalen, especially with the coaching staff and the play calling more geared towards Milrow. I think a philosophy that I've carried to this point in the game is, and we've talked about it on the Zoom calls, if you're on those, we've talked about it in the podcast, we've talked about it's a slam dunk on, I thought, and I was wrong, it's a slam dunk on where the coaches want to go with the quarterback because there's a scheme that they don't want to change. Now, I actually still believe that's true. However, week 4, or through the first 3 weeks, it became very clear that Milrow needed to be the starting quarterback, which required a move, a shift from the scheme that the coaching staff, that Saban necessarily wanted to run. And so as the offense week to week to week is geared more towards the skills and talents of Milrow, we're going to continue to see him grow and blossom. And that's going to be fun to watch, watching his progression over the next 3 to 6 weeks, I think, certainly going to be a lot of fun. So, again, there's a lot of baby in that bathwater. Let's not throw it all out. There were 4 sacks. I think that's too many. Not all of them on him. But there were definitely a couple times where he's got to just get rid of the ball. I said that emphatically in my basement a couple of times Saturday afternoon. But there's a lot of building blocks that that Alabama, that the coaching staff and Milrow can work from. So that's sort of the focus that, as an Alabama fan, we need to take from this game, that there's a lot of good that the team can build from. Coming out of the Texas loss and coming out of the South Florida game, I don't know that there was a lot of good coming from that South Florida game. Maybe the last 6 minutes on offense, but not a lot of good. In this Alabama Saturday against Ole Miss, I think there was more good that came to bear, and we're going to spend some time talking about that as we already are. Complimentary football. We're demanding of that in last week's podcast. And Thursday night we got on a Zoom call, and I kind of went on a rant a little bit about that again, kind of got a little bit worked up, and I could see some nods across the people, those on the call, I could see some nods, and I could see some grinning, like, oh, he's getting wound up again, and absolutely, and complimentary football, I think, was the theme of the day, Alabama against Ole Miss. Alabama had 45 carries, and look, it wasn't all candy and rainbows. I think Alabama had a 3.6 yard per carry average. That's not glamorous. That's not glorious. But it was important in helping Alabama play complementary football, and Alabama was near dominant with a 34 and a half minutes time of possession. And again, I think those are improvements that that Alabama can build upon, and that's a style of play that this year's Alabama team needs to lean into. Again, that was the promise of the offseason. We saw a little bit of that manifest on Saturday. More, please give me more. Yes, sir. Please, thank you. I'll take another. First and goal at the one on a 7-3 game. If there's one thing that probably aggravates me more than maybe the interception, is Alabama not running the quarterback sneak on first and goal at the one. Again, a tight game, Alabama trailing. Certainly, I think, should have leaned into the quarterback sneak game, lining up under center and running the quarterback sneak. We joked. Were we really joking? We joked in last week's open. Do we know of an offense that can be sort of geared around or centered around the quarterback sneak? Well, first and one at the goal is when you run that offense. And had the coaching staff sort of got on the horn and said, look, this is four down territory. We're just going to run it, run the quarterback right up the center's rear end four times, and they're either going to get the ball at the one-inch line or we're going to score a touchdown here. I wish Alabama had sort of focused on that. What's interesting is Alabama did end up with a field goal on that drive, but it was a negative 21-yard gain scoring drive. So you don't see those very often. I did see someone on a message board, and again, those are kind of fun to sort of dabble in a little bit. There was someone that sort of peacocking a little bit. And sort of, I don't understand why we're mad at the play call and not mad at the center at the snap. And I think, hey, I know this guy. You're someone that would rather be right than someone that would rather get it right. We're not mad at the play call in and of itself in a vacuum. We're mad at the play call because of the issue with the snap. We're mad at the play call because of the success that Alabama had last week running the ball behind with a quarterback behind the center. And when you have a quarterback that's athletic, as Milroe is, why risk any of the other known issues that are in play? And why not just lean into what you know works? And so, it's of course we don't like that the center had a bad snap, and of course we're playing the outcome just a little bit there, but we know what we know too, lining up for that play. So again, there's a bigger picture, there's a bigger context. I think it's important to understand that, and it's about getting it right rather than simply being right. Let's talk about the offensive line. I thought they were improved sort of across the board. There were still four sacks. That's too many. Not all of those were on the offensive line. Only 2.9 average rushing yards. I think I said 3-something. There's 2.9. That accounts for sacks, and there were some ugly sacks. Alabama was only 6 of 13 on third downs, so there's a lot of opportunity to improve there. And one of the things that I watched during the game, the spy, the TV announcers kept talking about, well, the spy keeps making the tackle on Milroe, the sack on Milroe a couple of times. And I thought, hey, if we know who the spy is, why don't we knock the spy on his ass? Why don't we hit the spy? And there was one play for me that sort of really personified that. Tyler Booker. You know, sometimes as depending upon how the defense is attacking the offensive line of scrimmage, sometimes there'll be a lineman that just won't have anyone to block. And so, you know, put your head on a swivel and then lean into maybe helping a block. Landon Dickerson was always good at that. He'd take care of his man, or if he didn't have an opportunity, then he would go look to see who he could chip in on with the goal of putting someone on their ass. And Booker did that a little bit. He, you know, head on a swivel, looking for who to block, and then went over to assist the center. And I think as he sort of turned to go to the center, the spy came right in behind him and put a look on the quarterback. And so my thought is, hey, you don't have anyone to physically block, but you see 5 yards in front of you the spy. and we know who the spy is. And so just stand there and mirror the spy. Spy the spy. And if he comes in, then knock him on his ass. If Milrow goes to run, and that'll be behind you, but you can tell where Milrow's going by watching the spy. It's a mirror. And so mirror the spy. Put the spy on that on his ass. On that play, don't let him make a play on the quarterback. And I think that's exactly what happened. But if you know who the spy is, then there's an opportunity who to take it out. Now, some teams will mix up who the spy is, or they'll free the spy by blitzing at a guard or at a lineman who may be attempting to do that. But I thought there was an opportunity there. Again, there's a lot that I liked across the offensive line, but there are still things that could be cleaned up, and that's something that certainly caught my eye watching the game. We did see Proctor rotate out late in the first half. Elijah Pritchard came in and played. Dowker looked like he got dinged up a little bit, so Terrence Ferguson came in. And then Terrence Ferguson got dinged up, and so Dowker rotated back in and seemed to play okay. I don't like Dowker getting dinged up and that bringing Ferguson in, although I like Ferguson better than Dowker at the guard. And of course, Ferg gets dinged up, and so Dowker has to come back. So you've got the injured sort of backing up the injured. I like the fire bringing Pritchard in. I like the fire that can light under Proctor. I think Proctor's ceiling is just incredibly high. For my money, I think he'd probably drop 15 pounds, be a little lighter on his feet. But I think he has a world of talent, an opportunity ahead of him. But I don't mind keeping the fire lit under his seat. Again, improvement still needs to be made. Some improvement recognized. So it is a work in progress, but it's progressing in the right direction. A lot of things that Alabama can work with and build with here. Let's talk quickly about the running backs. As pleased as I personally am with their performance Saturday, there's not a whole lot really to say. Jace McClellan was the feature back, demonstrated why he is the feature back. He had 17 carries for a 105, averaged 6.2, so that's nice. Had a touchdown, really sort of nice sort of ping pong, bouncing around in the interior there for his touchdown, physical run. Rodell Williams, who was sort of the star running back last week against Southern Florida, was much less productive Saturday against Ole Miss. He had 8 carries for 21 yards. He had a 2.6 yard average, so not very good there. But Rodell continues to be a very physical runner, and these are carries that wear down the defense. And so even though they're not glamorous, had Rodell had 18 carries or 10 more carries, much like Jace did, I think his numbers and his averages would have been much higher. Rodell is certainly, again, we talk about a physical runner and we talk about a running back that the coaches trust having in there. And when we're stacking carries and stacking plays on the opponent's defense with the objective of wearing them down, Rodell's a good candidate for that. So we'd like his numbers to be higher, but we appreciate sort of the subtle competition or contribution that Williams made on the day Saturday. Wide receivers, I think I've already mentioned this, but 10 pass catchers were in play. That's phenomenal. The two that obviously I think are going to stand out the most to everyone, freshman Jalen Hale and Jermaine Burton, had nearly identical stat lines. Hale was 2 catches for 63. Burton was 2 catches for 62. Jalen Hale had a long of 33 that was a touchdown, and Jermaine Burton had a long of 54 that led to the go-ahead field goal. So both of them made significant contributions in the passing game. Hale reaching pay dirt, but Jermaine with a much longer pass that helped set up a go-ahead field goal. That was the field goal that got Alabama to 9, and Alabama didn't look back much from there on the day. Mini game ball on offense. I'm going to split this a little bit. I saw two players do versions of the same thing. Very, very subtle. If you weren't watching and rewatching some of the replays, you may not have noticed it. On Jace's touchdown run, he was a little bit of a sort of a ping pong ball sort of bounced around a physical line of scrimmage. I don't know that he was exactly losing his footing, but he had certainly lost his momentum, more going sideways than forward. And Proctor just sort of bumped him and pushed him forward and gave him that rocket boost to run forward into the end zone. And so it's a very subtle Proctor helping the running back sort of get focused and go in the right direction. There was another play, I think it was on a Milroe scramble. Looked like he was about to lose his footing, and Robbie Oots just sort of bumped him. It almost served as a wall or a buffer to knock Milroe sort of back upright and running forward. And I think that went for a first down. So I like the guys in there putting their body in the play, so that the ball carrier can sort of get their footing back under them, get their balance upright, and continue to progress through the ball. So those are fun things to carry. Very, very subtle things that you know. Sometimes you just get lucky when you spot stuff like that. But it's fun to know that there's a million just little contributions that go into every play. And man, when they're lined up and working with you, it just propels the team forward. It's like a conveyor belt to success, and it's fun to see when it's working. Boy, it sucks when it's working against you.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's, as we do, let's flip the field and talk defense. Again, you know, complementary football at work here. So offense sort of possessing the ball and defense really having the opportunity to get after it and be aggressive. And that's what Alabama fans saw on Saturday, holding Ole Miss to 3 of 14 on third down conversions. That's an amazing stat. Holding Ole Miss to 10 points scored. We're talking about an offense that was averaging over 50 a game, so to hold Ole Miss to 10. Lane Kiffin made the comment that we thought we had something for Alabama. We thought we could get them. We thought we had something for them this week. And sort of what contributes to that thought process is a couple of things, but you know, Ole Miss playing very well at that point in the season. Alabama struggling coming off that South Florida game. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, knowing what Sark and Texas were able to do against Alabama, knowing that they could replicate some of that, or certainly thinking that that they could replicate that. So when Lane Kiffin says, we thought we had something for him, we thought we could catch him this year, those are the things that legitimately, he wasn't wrong for thinking that. Those are legitimate. Just Alabama had more in the tank, more sort of bounce back. And to hold Ole Miss to 10 points in the full context of the circumstance, of the situation, is pretty dang impressive. Holding Ole Miss to 56 yards rushing, 1.9 yard average, is amazing. When you hold a team, Alabama just averaged 2.6. Now, that accounted for sacks, as does their average. There's enough separation there that you start averaging under two, then you got to as a coach, as a team, as a play caller, you start thinking, I've got to pull back. I can't run the ball as much. I'm not able to run the ball. And Alabama sort of doubled down and said, we're gonna persist. We're gonna stick with it. And it got easier later. It's harder earlier. And Ole Miss never sort of hit that inflection point. And Alabama did, thankfully. Alabama had 5 sacks on the day, 4 pass deflections, 1 interception, and 10 tackles for loss. Talk about coaches said a lot this season, drive stoppers, tackles for loss, 10 of them. Those are quite significant. 3 of 14 on third down conversions. Those are significant drive stoppers. So good on the Alabama defense. Let's talk about some of the individual performances, some of the individual players. Dallas Turner cements himself, in my mind, as an All-America candidate, is a top 5 draft pick caliber player. 2 sacks on the day, 3.5 tackles for loss. His pursuit and his speed and his athleticism was on display tackling Jackson Dart. He had the angle on him earlier in the game on a running play downfield. It was amazing to see, you know, Dallas, as big as he is relative to other players on the field, how fluid he is in his movement and able to track players and runners down the field. And then he had a beautiful sack in the backfield where he flushed out Jackson Dart and was chasing him. Now, Dart's an athletic player. Let's not get mixed up about this. But Dallas knew, and there's a mental calculus that players just execute. But there's a calculus that goes on that he knew exactly when to dive, knew that I'm not going to get him, but if I dive right now, I can trip him up. And was able to score a sack on that play. Terrion Arnold, does he not get better every single week? Is he not a dynamic, exciting player to watch? He had 8 tackles. I think they were all solo. 8 tackles. He had 2 pass deflections. He had an interception. And there was a really nice article. I didn't see the footage of a Terrion Arnold post-game interview, but there must have been. Terrion was talking about the interception, and he said they ran a play at him, sort of a misdirection player in motion, running at him earlier in the game, and they got a gain on that. And Terrion said, I knew they were going to come back to that. And later in the game, they ran the same motion. I think it was a different receiver. They ran the same motion. And I need to find this interview, but I think Terrion said he smiled when he saw it because he knew what was coming. And he perfectly played the ball, got certainly a big interception for Alabama. And he looked pretty impressive as he was returning that as well. Terrion is playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. He looks incredibly comfortable in the field. He knows what the task is playing opposite of McKinstry. And we've talked about this. We've referenced this dating back to last season. McKinstry is going to help shut down a portion of the field. They're going to attack the other cornerback. Lane Kiffin, again, in his postgame, said we went after Terrion because we had success there last year. And Lane specifically called out number 3 is having a good game on Saturday. And so, again, you got an offensive-minded coach that knows he wants to attack an individual, very specific specific player, that he's had success doing that in the past. And the coach comes back and says, that number 3, he's improved. He's a good player. We've got to feel confident as Alabama fans. We've got to feel good about Terrion Arnold and the contribution. We talked about Kool-Aid. Essentially took away a good portion of the field, which, again, for a passing offense, Ole Miss and Jackson Dart for a passing offense, that is phenomenal. You're not going to see that in the stats other than 10 points. That's where you start to see that. Kool-Aid had a near interception, and he was a little aggravated with himself. Looks like he got 1, maybe 2 hands on it. Wasn't able to rule it in, rein it in. But nonetheless, Kool-Aid is a tremendous player. Deontay Lawson went out with injury. That is a significant loss to the Alabama defense, but it looked like the backups really just took it upon themselves to raise their level of play. Jahil Campbell had 7 tackles, looked really good on the game. Kendrick Blackshear played and just looked like a physical monster out there. Those are intimidating looking individuals. Put them in pads and have them running around at you. And they're that much more so. Malachi Moore continues to contribute. He is all over the field, making plays, registering tackles, cutting off running lanes, contaminating parts of the field, so the offense is, you know, less effective. Malachi Moore is a tremendous player for Alabama. Even when he doesn't light up a stat sheet, he is all over the minds of the opposing offense. And offensive coordinators certainly are thinking about 13. The Timms played well. Keenan and Smith both played well. Both registered multiple tackles, multiple sacks, or one and a half sacks. They may have split some sacks there. But nonetheless, that's the type of push that Alabama needs from its defensive line. And mini game ball on defense. I'm going to go back to like the old days and like Tommy used to do. He used to break the mini game ball. And sometimes I would carve out a very specific sort of niche play, not their overall performance, but a very singular sort of niche play for mini game ball. And I'm going to do that. So I'm kind of breaking it. I'm going Dallas Turner. He's the first defender I wanted to talk about. He's the last defender I want to talk about because his contribution Saturday was just that compelling. But, of course, he has all the headline stats with the tackles for loss and the sacks and just his – he runs like a deer on the field for someone that's as big as he is. But he had a beautiful play that just it's the type of play that gets lost, and this is what the mini game ball is all about. It's a type of play that just gets lost to the history of the game. No one's going to remember this. They're not going to write songs about it. Daniel Moore's not, you know, cleaning his easel, you know, to paint this up. But there was a critical sort of third down play where Ole Miss leaked a running back out to the sideline. And that was the play. I mean, we're going to look downfield and see if something, you know, opens up downfield. But we've got a hot outlet right over here, and look, we're only trying to get a few yards for, you know, for the first down. And so we're going to look downfield. We're going to push the defense. We're going to, you know, try to extend the defense back, and we're going to try to leak out something here underneath. And Dallas Turner, came around the corner, and in fact, they're going to let Turner in because it's a little bit of a screen. In a traditional sense, there weren't sort of lead blockers, but we're going to option Turner, let him come in, and we're going to throw right over his head. And Turner came in, and he stopped, and he went back, and it basically blew up the play. Dart had to throw the ball into the bleachers because single-handedly Dallas Turner blew up that play. And again, that gets lost to the history of the game. There's no poems written over that. But certainly a mini game ball given for that play. That was spectacular. Amongst all of the big plays that Dallas made, that is one. And that's one that won't show up necessarily anywhere but here. All right. Let's talk about special teams. For me, it was more of a mixed bag than maybe we've seen in other weeks this year. But it was net good. Will Reichert was 3 of 6 on field goals, allowing Alabama to score their first 9 points. That is not insignificant. Meanwhile, Reichert had 2 kickoffs that went out of bounds. I hate to see that. Giving the opponent, you know, free yardage there. They get the ball at the 25. When you kick it out of bounds, they get it at the 35. You're getting in Saban parlance, you're giving them a first down. And you stack up enough first downs, you stack up enough yards, about 100 yards, however you get it, generally nets, translates into a touchdown. That's how Saban thinks about it. It's not a bad way of thinking about it. And so on 2 kicks that go out of bounds like that, you're giving them 20 yards. Add that to the 25 they get for free. Now, you know, again, we're doing transitive math here, but you're allowing them to set up in the middle of the field. Near the middle of the field. So we don't like those sorts of penalties. Just kick it out of bounds, or not out of bounds, kick it out of the end zone and go from there. Burnup continues to impress, and I'm going to call him out every week that he does. He had 3 punts. Now, only 3 punts, so that's impressive. He had 3 punts. That's good on the Alabama offense. 3 punts, 48.3-yard average, so that's very nice. He had a long of 56. Boy, I like that average above 45, and the closer that average gets to 50, That's exciting. And so 48-yard average plus a 48-yard average with the long of 56, very, very nice. Ja'Cory Brooks, we talked earlier, we talked preseason. Alabama has so much talent and depth across this roster that athleticism is going to manifest. It's going to present itself on special teams. And Ja'Cory Brooks, who I call the number one receiver on the team in 22, had a huge blocked punt. Now, unfortunately, Alabama couldn't flip that necessarily into a bunch of points, but it was a huge block punt, and that's something that shows up on film. It makes Ole Miss punter nervous for the rest of the day, but it shows up on film. Other teams have to think about that. They have to account for that. Punters, it can rush the sort of the process, the battery there. It can rush that process. And so it's always good to see a blocked punt, because that gets in the minds of the special teams and sort of the principles on the punt mechanic and the punt battery there. There were zero kick returns by Alabama, which I think is a beautiful stat for more than one reason, but I enjoyed seeing no kick returns. That is great. A Jamarian Miller tackle was very Reuben Foster-esque. It was beautiful. I loved it. I exhorted passionately to the TV when that happened. Unfortunately, it was a penalty. I do agree with the penalty. The targeting, the rule of targeting has evolved. It's not just head-to-head anymore. It's like the old spearing rule. And so the targeting is not really a new rule. It's just they dusted off and put glitter on the old spearing rule. You can't spear. You can't lead with the tip of your helmet. And it's more about the safety of the tackler than it is the safety of the tacklee. Now, head-to-head is its own thing, but spearing and leading with the crown of the helmet is about protecting the defender. And so what Jam did was an illegal tackle. I'm not mad at that. However, two things can be true at once. I hate the penalty. I love the physicality. And I loved the energy and the boost that gave Alabama. I'm not saying let's go out and commit targeting penalties every time we need a burst of energy. Rather, let's go out and knock someone on their ass, because that's, at the end of the day, that's sort of what the message was. But it was an incredible burst of energy. Just get the head up a little bit. Let's see what we're tackling. It would have been just as ferocious, and Jam wouldn't have been penalized. But I love, there's a nuance to what I'm saying. Let's not go commit a bunch of penalties. Let's not put our players at risk of injury with spearing and those types of hits. However, let's go slobber knock someone, because that is motivating to the Alabama defense and certainly to special teams. So a little bit of a, let's not do it that way, but good job, Jamarian, for that tackle. All right, next up. What is next up? Alabama travels to Starkville in what has to be one of the easiest travel arrangements in the SEC. Alabama or Tuscaloosa to Starkville, or Starkville to Tuscaloosa. It's a pretty easy drive between the two. And Alabama heads over for a night game next week. Mississippi State is reeling, I'd say, a little bit more than Alabama, having lost their last two games. Last one, relatively close game to South Carolina on the road. South Carolina's not a world beater this season, so we'll see how that goes. Playing Mississippi State is always a physical game. I think the proximity does something to the competitors, but it's always a physical game. Quarterback Will Rogers is always a dangerous weapon for Mississippi State. But head coach, new head coach, Kevin Arnett, former defensive coordinator, is transitioning the offense away from the air raid into more of a pro style. And I don't know that they're all the way there. That's a big sort of transition to make. I don't know that they're all the way there. I think that is part of why they're the Bulldogs are reeling a little bit. And probably I'd say this is not a good matchup for Mississippi State, where they are in their season, their apparent trajectory, where Alabama is and its apparent trajectory. Probably not the best matchup that that State would root for this week, but that's what the docket calls for. And as I look forward to this game, still a little high off the energy from Ole Miss. I'm projecting good things for Alabama this week, and I see this as a 31-14 style ball game. So we'll see how that that plays out. So a couple of administrative things I do want to call out. We did get another 5-star review. We really appreciate that. I was going to prepare to read it on the air, and I hit record before I finished the prep. We'll get that on next week. We do appreciate the 5-star review with the comments. Definitely reach out and or head to iTunes or your podcast, you know, downloader, and leave us reviews. It helps people find us. If you appreciate what we're doing, that's an easy sort of free thing that you can do that we so greatly appreciate. And when we have an opportunity to do shout outs, we certainly want to do that. So we'll catch that one up. We also welcome and appreciate those who join the or participate in the sort of the listener support team. We so appreciate that. And I really wanted to get the review in this week because the review spoke specifically about that. But we'll touch that. We're going to try to do a Mississippi State interview this week, and so we'll try to include that there. But we'll have our Zoom calls or our virtual tailgates this Saturday. It's an away game, so we'll do a Saturday morning virtual tailgate. If that is at all interesting sounding to you, then sign up for the support team, and we'll send you the link out for the virtual Zoom. You can download prior virtual Zoom, sort of get a sense for that. And we do have sort of a free trial on our membership packages. So, you know, give it a ride and see how it goes. With that, if there's any questions or topics that you specifically want us to hit up, go to alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. And we certainly enjoy engaging with everyone there. In the meantime, let's do what we do. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, T-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.